I begin this book, Navaraja Mahima, the glories of New Rajadam, by offering respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is the founder of CHAIA, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, better known by its acronym, ISKCON. I believe that he is also an eternal resident of Goloka Vrindavan. New Rajadam is but one of many fruits of Srila Prabhupada's pure selfless desire, quote, to erect a holy place of transcendental pastimes dedicated to the personality of Krishna. Krishna Valley, as I name New Rajadam, to make it easier for the public to remember, thus belongs to Srila Prabhupada. We, the residents, develop and maintain it on his behalf. May he be pleased. Dear readers, anything true or beautiful in this book is the result of Srila Prabhupada's grace alone. Whatever faults this book contains are due to my own shortcomings, for which I apologize at the outset. Radha and Shyamasundara, the enchanting deities of New Rajadam, have captured my heart and hidden it somewhere within the groves of this sublime abode of the risen Southern Hungary. In attempt to find my heart, I undertook a detailed search of the places in which the divine couple enjoy their pastimes. This book is an account of that search recorded for interested Vaishnavas. I know that other devotees, and not just residents of Krishna Valley, have met the same fate. I hope that reading this book and touring the holy places it describes will also help them find their hearts. Before we begin our parikrama of Krishna Valley, let us hear about Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna's original abode in the spiritual sky, the prototype of Umar Vrindavan and thus of New Rajadam. The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna appears periodically on earth and brings Goloka Vrindavan with him. It is then called Umar Vrindavan, Krishna's abode on earth, the Dham manifested, prakat, for our eyes. When the Lord returns to Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual sky, an unmanifested uppercut form of the Dham invisibly remains in the Mathura district of northern India, south of New Delhi. Gaudiya Vaishnavas aspire to make Goloka Vrindavan their final destination upon leaving this world of matter. To that end, they meditate on Vrindavan's places, its residents, and their pastimes. According to Srila Prabhupada's desire, New Vrindavan Dham, New Rajadam, is an attempt to bring the potency of that uppercut Dham to Hungary. My hope is that it will inspire sincere souls to make Goloka their goal. After describing Goloka, I will recount some of the charming features of New Rajadam, visible to ordinary souls such as I. Features, I pray, will inspire a longing for the transcendental reality of Krishna's abode. Finally, we will hear the good fortune of Krishna Valley's residents. When you hear this word, we will now read, we will hear, this is Keshav Bhartimar speaking, in hope that they make the most of every day they live in this physical manifestation of Srila Prabhupada's and the Supreme Lord's mercy. I reserve my full praise of Srimati Radharani and Sri Shyamasundara for the last 10 chapters of this work. For that reason, I will only touch upon their inexhaustible glories in this opening chapter. Dear readers, please bless me. Goloka is an endless feast for the spiritual senses of its liberated residents and their divine masters. Without the Vaishnava's blessings, how can I describe such a place? Next section. Vrindavan is an expansion of Sri Krishna's heart. As such, it is most mysterious, stunningly beautiful, steeped in meadows, charmingly variegated, and at once majestic and sweet. Just as Yashoda is Krishna's perfect mother, so Vrindavan is Krishna's perfect playground, with mountains, valleys, meadows, forests, rivers, and lakes as arenas of undulating expressions of love. The dark, fertile soul of Raja is Chintamani, transcendental gem. It appears to be precious gems such as ruby or sapphire, aromatic substances like musk or saffron, and others such as camphor or gold. An unlimited variety of wish-fulfilling trees, kalpa vrikshas, grace the gardens and forests of Vrindavan. These trees yield ripe juicy fruits year-round, fruits that appear to be made of crystal or jewels. The wives of these trees, wives like the Malati and Madhavi, moisten the ground with joyful tears of their honey and perfume the air with pollen as they chastely embrace their husbands. On the banks of the Jamuna, in the valleys of Govardhan, and in the forests of Vrindavan, these trees and creepers lovingly combine to create many kinds of growers, the famed kunjas of Braj. In some kunjas, four trees stand at each corner to form pillars. The branches and twigs of the trees intertwine to make roofs. Their flowers and leaves form domes, and the hanging vines create walls. Some groves feature jeweled cottages or even palaces. The best of these kunjas, which stands at the yoga pit, is the home to the king of the desire trees and an impressive palace with multiple wings and stories. Vrindavan teems with wildlife, cuckoos that sing on the fifth note, peacocks that dance in the trees, musk deer that madden by their own scent, and black bees always searching for nectar. The rivers and lakes of Braj abound with tiny safari fish, wise turtles basking in the sun, and swans savoring lotus stems. Countless creatures serve Krishna with their beauty, voices, and gestures. Even greater in variety and number is Vrindavan's topmost opulence, its flowers. Mango, Mangolia, Kadamba, Bakula, lotus, rose, and jasmine are but a few varieties that adorn Braja's gardens and forests. These flowers enhance Vrindavan with their delightful fragrance, divine hues, scattered pollen, dripping honey, and fallen petals. But when they adorn Krishna, their beauty is enhanced by his touch. What can be said of fruits like the wood apple, mango, and amlaki? Krishna uses ropes and stones to fell them from the trees. He savors some with gusto, he and his friends with others to play ball. Between great mountains like Nandishwar, Varshana, and Govardhan are luxuriant meadows that sprout grass made of emerald, and forests that shame the manicured gardens of heaven's king. The water of Manasiganga sets the stage for Radha's and Krishna's boating pastimes, while Kusum Sarovar transforms blossoming lotuses into doe-eyed gopis. Who can say which lake is greater? Goddesses praise the musk-scented Yamuna, which snakes through Braj, crowded with pavilions, gem-filled peaches, and staircases that lead to the water. It submerges Krishna and the gopis in amorous love. Rupa Goswami declares Radha's lake to be the best of Giriraja's two love-filled eyes and the crown jewel of sacred places. Shama is completely lost to his sweetheart, Radha Kund. Radhika declares that Hari's best servant, Govardhan, with caves, gardens, rocks, pigments, grasses, and animals, pleases Krishna like no one else. Indeed, the very thought of Giriraj makes Hari tremble. Everyone and everything in Vrindavan competes to serve the son of Maharaj Nanda. No wonder the six seasons, led by spring, are eternally present with an endless supply of flowers for his garlands. In Goloka, the moon is always full because it reflects the complete beauty of Krishna's toenails, and because the sun is shamed by Radhika's golden aura, it sets at the end of every day. Krishna's companions are the best of all perfected souls, yet they behave like ordinary cowherd folk. They adore Krishna as a village hero, but they consider him a temperamental child, like any other. Whether they be friends, beloved girlfriends, parents, or relatives of Krishna, the Brijbasis personify loving service. Their form, speech, and actions may at times appear common, but they are divine. Nanda and Yashoda lead the elders, Subal and Sridhar lead Krishna's friends, and Radha his girlfriends. To purify myself with thoughts of these devotees, this book exalts but a drop of their glories. The palaces, houses, gates, and barns of the Brijbasis are made of sapphire and emeralds, with pillars of coral, roofs of gold, windows of crystal, and every piece of furniture inlaid with pearls and diamonds. Wide paved roads connect Vrindavan's three main cities, Nandagram, Varshana, and Jagat, and great walls surround them to protect their priests, royalty, guards, cowherds, and servants. The Brijbasis herds include buffalo and goats, but I will describe only Krishna's favorites, the ceramic cows, whom he personally milks, leads to pasture, and decorates with gold, rubies, and pearls. When amassed, Braj's cows, calves, and bulls resemble waves in the milk ocean, and their mooing sounds like Vedic hymns. At the sound of Krishna's flute, these wonderful creatures cry, completely stunned. All glories to the fortunate flute, which day and night drinks deeply the nectar of Lord Krishna's lips, and with its enchanting music, skillfully subdues the youthful pride of Srimati Radharani. Let us now sing the praises of Sri Krishna. His form glistens with the hue of amorous love, which resembles the color of sapphires, blue lotuses, black mascara, fresh rain clouds, and the tamal tree. His golden garments reveal that his thoughts are always fixed on Sri Radha. So the soft reddish-black sheen of his long curly hair further discloses that those thoughts are tremulous, transcendently amorous. A turban, slightly askew and topped with flowers, twigs, and feathers, crowns his unparalleled form, which is always adorned with priceless earrings, necklaces, bracelets, and rings, and a knee-length garment. Every part of his body, from his restless eyes, which resemble blue and red lotuses, to his lotus feet, the lustre of pink roses, is perfectly proportioned and marked with transcendentally auspicious signs. Any object, no matter how extraordinary, looks drab next to Sri Krishna's limbs, which are empowered to attract all living beings, especially the equally attractive goddess of love, Srimati Radharani. Krishna's flawless beauty is only one jewel in a trove of countless and comparable qualities, of which wit, intelligence, gentleness, forgiveness, joyfulness, and submission to love are but a few. Now let us hear about Sri Radha, whose beauty and qualities are also unrivaled. Krishna is millions of times dearer to her than her own self, and she is expert in pleasing him with fine arts like cooking. The splendid luster of her body may be compared to the color of Kaitiki flowers, molten gold, lightning, or the yellow pigment Gaurochana. Her beautiful blue garments are a sign of her innermost thoughts. Kaviraj Goswami declares that constant meditation upon Krishna has tinted the vines of Radha's thoughts blue. These vines, sprinkled with her love for him, have blossomed as her long braided hair. From her sindhu-lined forehead, swarming with locks of curling hair, to her much sought-after red-lapid soles, Radha's exquisite form is the vessel uniquely equipped to slake Krishna's thirst for love. She is decorated with a diamond tiara, sparkling earrings, a pearl nose ring, glowing lipstick, a drop of musk, strand of pearls, a satchel bells, blue bangles, assorted rings, and sweetly tinkling ankle bells. The sight of Krishna has transformed Srimati Radharani's mascara-lined eyes into blue lotuses, whose reddish corners reach for her ears, hoping to hear the flute song that always lingers there. Vrindavan is like a milk churn, spontaneous love for Krishna, the milk, Krishna's pastimes, the churning rod, his Brijbasi companions, the rope for churning, and the result, ecstasy, the butter. Just as baby Krishna smears butter throughout his home, Yoga Maya spreads the ecstasy of love of God throughout Braj, making it sweet, soft, and tasty, and inducing wonder in the Brijbasis. That wonder, again mixed with the butter of ecstatic love, produces a transcendental delight, rasa, the taste of which bewilders the deity of self-realized sages, the herder of cows, the lover of gopis. This sublime realm of Goloka is known to only a few rare souls in this world. But Srila Prabhupada has made his followers privy to its secrets, including knowledge of its playful prince. And the combined form of Radha and Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most munificent of the Lord's incarnations, blessed Srila Prabhupada to give those secrets freely to the world. Goloka is worlds apart from this material universe. But to let conditioned souls see it, the unmanifest Dham, with all its inspiring sweetness, makes its appearance on earth as Bhoma Vrindavan. please his devotees, Krishna created many holy places in the world. Still, by his own testimony, no place is as dear to him as the 84th Krosha manifestation of Goloka found in Mathura Mandala. While Krishna was here on earth, Vrindavan displayed the features of Goloka in all their beauty, sweetness, and divinity. But after Krishna left, those glories were concealed behind the veil of matter. In the intervening millennia, great souls had repeatedly exposed the hidden glories of Braj, only to have those glories again obscured by the passage of time, so that the true Dham cannot shine forth. Yet, time and matter are unable to touch the pristine hearts of those exalted souls in our disciplic succession, who continue to protect the knowledge of Braja's eternal exalted truths. The word Braja refers to the pastures of Goloka, where Krishna raises his Sarabi cows. It can also refer to the appearance of those pastures, cows, and their cowherd in the consciousness of pure devotees. In the modern age, the most effulgent of Lord Chaitanya's followers, Srila Prabhupada, inaugurated the revolution in consciousness by taking knowledge of Krishna and his abode to the world outside India. Srila Prabhupada carried Krishna in his heart as he repeatedly traveled the globe, and with complete dependence on the Lord's holy name, he brought Vrindavan to stay in the land of the untouchables. I was fortunate enough to be touched by the glance of Krishna's representative and to receive his instructions. Thus, I ventured to the land of the Kunas, praying that Braja would manifest itself there too. Anything is possible by the grace of Guru and Krishna. Now, I can meditate on New Braja Dham as a 16-petaled lotus, stretching for 1 kilometer from Radhashyama Sundar's temple, its world. The boundary of that world is marked by the outer ring road that encircles the temple, while the rest of the Dham, including nearly 600 pastime places, lies within the extended petals of the lotus. In my mind, the lotus of the Dham is smooth to the touch like satin, soothing to the eyes like gold smeared with kumkum, and stimulating to the nose like a blend of camphor, musk, guru, and sandalwood. It is sweet to the tongue like camphor-flavored nectar, and haunting to the ear like the sound of a bamboo flute. In these ways, the lotus of Krishna's valley drowns my senses in pools of auspiciousness. The Jamuna River rises from a dozen springs on New Braja Dham's southern petal and flows to its western petal, dividing Balaram's 5 forests to the west from Krishna's 7 forests to its east. Govardhan Hill stretches along the eastern petal like a reclining peacock. His eyes are Radhakund and Shamakund in the temple courtyard. Further east, Manasaganga flows across his neck. The northern petal hosts the palatial residence of Shamasundar's cows, which represents the upland barns and corrals of Nanda Maharaj. On the southern petal is expansive Vrindavan forest. At the far edge of the western petal is sacred Mathura, which is Vasudeva's birthplace and home to many holy sites. Since Krishna left Goloka Vrindavan to live there, the Brijvasis are averse to it. Upon hearing the description of the topography of New Braja Dham, some devotees may question why it does not conform to descriptions of Goloka Vrindavan and Goloka Vrindavan. The truth is that these other descriptions are also not uniform, because like Krishna, whose form appears in varying shapes and sizes, the one Dham appears differently by its inconceivable potencies. After we acquired Krishna Valley, I prayed to Radhashyam and Srila Prabhupada, then painstakingly assigned the most celebrated pastime places of Goloka Vrindavan to different locations on the property. Srila Prabhupada did a similar thing in New Vrindavan. Quote, I've asked Gaurasundar to make a layout of the whole land, and I shall place 7 temples in different situations as a prototype of Raj. I'm trying to make a plan out of the description of the plot of our leased land, and the hilly portions may be named Govardhan, where the pasturing grounds for the cows may be allotted. End quote. My mapping of Vrindavan onto New Braja Dham may have been subject to fault. Nonetheless, it is auspicious by contact with the Uppercut Dham. In glorifying Braj, there can only be success. Upon hearing how I assign pastime places, a devotee once asked, what happens to the shape of New Vajradham if we acquire more land or construct a new temple and relocate Radhashyam Sundar? The answer is that the underlying Uppercut Dham is free from restrictions. New Vajradham's physical size and shape don't affect it. All transcendental adjustments are made by the Lord's potencies. To commemorate Krishna's pastime, King Vajra, Emperor Pariksit, and Pariksit mother Uttara built 160 major monuments in Braj. I hope there will be as many in Krishna Valley. Dear reader, who thirsts for true happiness? You who have been rejected by loved ones, confused by the disciplines of yoga, broken by dry austerities, or disappointed by the lies of modern society. To find shelter and truth that have eluded you in this world, take shelter of New Vajradham and render service to the dual forms of the Absolute Truth, Srimati Radharani and her Lord Shyam Sundar. Next section. Krishna's valley, Krishna Valley's greatness bubbles up like spring water. Only the small portion we can see is enough to slake our thirst. May my words plumb the depths of that spring and bring more of its greatness to your ears. Materialists and non-believers doubt these truths, for without firm devotion to the Lord, without having received His mercy, knowledge of the Dham remains covered by clouds of ignorance. Thoughtful devotees will conclude that countless holy places make their presence felt upon the lotus of New Vajradham, and that these tirthas draw power from their proximity to Radha and Shyam. The holy cities of Ayodhya, Haridwar, and Kashi dwell here alongside the sacred Godavari, Saraswati, and Narmada rivers, which flow past famous mountains known as Vishinuka, Sri Shaila, and Vindhya. The gates to Swetadweep, Vaikuntha, and Sarashivaloka are accessible from New Vajradham due to the presence of Gauranataraj, Lakshmanishri, and Gopeshwar Mahadev. Similarly, because all incarnations are present in Shyam's form, Matsya, Varaha, Kapila, and others reside here as well. Seeing the Dham, then, is tantamount to seeing all the incarnations of the Lord. The power of New Vajradham, like that of Radha, Shyam, and their holy names, is such that faithful meditation on them destroys reactions to sin and grants one the benefit of visiting holy places. A strong desire to live in New Vajradham is enough to purify one. But if that desire is not fulfilled in this life, one may take birth there in the next. As Krishna says, Yamam Bhati Svam Bhavam. By saying the words Krishna Valley and New Vajradham, one not only repeats the names of the Lord and His abode, but also remembers them, thus acquiring the piety attained by studying the four Vedas. According to scriptures, even non-devotees, be they sinful or pious, who for some reason leave their bodies in places like Krishna Valley, where the deity of the Lord resides, attained by Kuntha. Indeed, living beings in any species of life, perishing anywhere within the boundaries of the Dham, be they ants, flies, mice, or anything else, ascend to the abode of Vishnu in beautified four-armed forms. One may wonder how this place has become so powerful. New Vajradham is connected to all pervasive Goloka Vrindavan through its presiding deities, Radha Shyam Sundar. This connection is established and maintained by the pure devotional service of the Dham's residents. Of those devotional practices, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the most essential. The chanting of advanced devotees also adds to the Dham's potency. The first half of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra bestows love of God, while the second half eradicates sinful activities. By constantly chanting the Maha Mantra before Radha Shyam Sundar, as Srila Prabhupada taught, his sincere followers suffuse New Vajradham with the potent spiritual power of Goloka. Sometimes I hear the echo of devotees chanting in Krishna Valley. This most pleasant vibration reminds me of the blissful congregational, quote, chanting of the moving and non-moving living entities, unquote. A person who visits Krishna Valley is truly fortunate, even in this lifetime. This abode of Radha and Shyam Sundar is so miraculous that I feel purified by touching the feet of its visitors. regularly meet guests who, after just one day's visit to Krishna Valley, develop faith in Srila Prabhupada's teachings, attraction to the Dham, or loving attitude towards Radha and Shyam. I have also met visitors who stayed in Krishna Valley for less than a fortnight. Testify that they felt greater spiritual progress in that short period that they had from years of yoga, sacrifice, and austerity. These fortunate souls who served the Dhamma for 10 days and or more, and who also bathe in the waters of Krishna Valley, are surely relieved of sinful reactions that elsewhere take many years of penance to annul, and the residents of New Rajagan. What can I say of their good fortune? To them I can only say, having been offered ultimate success on a golden platter, please do not neglect this opportunity. Those fortunate devotees and their children easily cross the mountainous waves of material existence on the great arc of New Rajagan, with Krishna and his eternal consort at their helm. Simple acts like watering gardens, tending cows, or walking to and fro in the course of the day, or whatever else they do in the service of the Dham, purify them more than pilgrimage to the Himalayas. What can we say then of the opportunity to recall Krishna's pastimes in the Dham, circumambulate the place of those pastimes, and thus ascend the glorious staircase to Goloka in the spiritual sky? Even those who visit to the Dham, even those whose visits to the Dham are incidental, builders, laborers, gift store shoppers, and the like, progress towards heaven or beyond, as do the forefathers who receive oblations here. Krishna personally taught us to observe Janmashtami, Krishnasthami, the emperor of all holy days. To see Radha Shyam on this day frees one from the reactions to sins committed over 10 million lifetimes. Wise souls know that proper observance of Janmashtami not only absolves them of every ritual and act of charity or austerity incumbent upon them, but also awards a happy return to Goloka. Just as Radha is dear to Krishna, so their appearance day is equally dear, and since Gaura is the combined form of Radha and Krishna, Gaura Purnima is as auspicious as Janmashtami and Radhashtami combined. The benefit of observing Janmashtami, Radhashtami, or Gaura Purnima in Krishna Valley is enhanced by the presence of the divine couple who award us whatever wealth, mysticism, or devotion we desire. Scriptures enjoin that we observe the month of Kartik in Braj. Whether our vows are simple or involved, we can attain a form similar to Krishna's, or better yet, the sort of devotion that can control them. If we are able, we may observe Uttana Ekadasi for the pleasure of Radha and Shyam, chanting Hare Krishna mantra all day and night, and then make a vow for the duration of Bhishma Panchaka. To one who does so, Krishna awards the position of an emperor, the king of heaven, the infallible Brahman, or resident of Vrindavan. Those who are wise know which of these benedictions to aspire for. Honoring Ekadasi pleases Hari. And when one observes Ekadasi in New Rajagan, the potency of that holy place further enhances the result, just as it does when we observe festivals like Janmashtami. Dear readers, please be careful. Just as it is an offense to discredit a Vaishnava for its low birth, it is an offense to discredit New Rajagan for being situated in the land of untouchables. O blessed householders, know that wealth is temporary and fraught with dangers. Protect yourselves from degradation by engaging your hard-earned money in the service of New Rajagan. Amongst the endless wonders of New Rajagan, the forms of Radha Shyam Sundar are most wonderful. Spellbound by those forms, I pray to be their menial servant birth after birth. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
pandavas vēlas, man viņas sevišķi un kārši gadījums. Man jau pūpoši, man būt atvēlēt tēvās tik. Majd a hát, ha minden jól megy, akkor minden hónap 6-7-ben akkor még két kötet. Sőt a Prabhupád ki, és Jivendásan szönő ki, úgy úgy, hogy hány ki, Prabhupád jól pénnek.
Napapracsa Mahimá ki, Jivarasszámi Maharács ki,